You ever feel that way, like you're struggling, you're going uphill, and you have to ask yourself, am I doing what God wants me to do? And sometimes God says, yes, just keep going uphill, struggling, and he'll help you to get to get to your destination. That was the box of books. Or maybe, like I said, the throwing the ball. I'm going to put all my effort into this area, but God says, stop, no. I don't want you to focus on doing that. I'm going to stop you short of that. Or he's going to confirm, yes, that he wants you to invest in that area, and so forth. So we need to walk intently with Jesus, listening to what he has us to do, and allow him to be Lord of our lives. And God is working. And the exciting thing is that God is working in your life and my life, particularly as God's children, all the time. Sometimes we see him working, sometimes we don't. And it's our responsibility to just listen to him. So what would you call that? As God intervenes in your life, we're looking at God's hand of providence in our life. You believe in the providence of God, the power of God's hand, doing things in our lives that maybe we don't expect him to do? Steve was mentioning that this morning. He says, you know, sometimes God will put us in a position where he's putting us in an uncomfortable position. He's stretching us, growing us, and helping us, and other times the door shut. And so we need to continue to watch God's hand do his work. So the title of the message this morning is The Hand of Providence. Praise God that his hand is in your life and my life. Amen. Okay, let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here today, and I ask, Father, please, that you will bless it. I pray, Father, please, that you will use it, and I pray that you'll help us to walk away with the maybe new perspective or a reminder of the proper perspective that we should have. And I pray that you will carry this message and accomplish your work in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to remember that God is there to help us or to keep us on track for doing the right thing. And sometimes we may not see him working to help, but he's always there. Is there comfort in knowing that God is always working in your life, even if you don't see him working in your life? Because we know that God loves us, we know that he's in our life, and we know that everything he allows in our life is for good, whether we agree with the method or not. Okay, so we need to trust God with all of our life. So last week I was speaking about the importance of us remembering what God has done in our lives, remembering what God has done in our country. The Israelites were supposed to remember what God did for them in leading them out of Egypt into the promise, out of Egypt through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and later into the promised land. But the transition from the wilderness into the promised land was that of the people that came through the Red Sea to the wilderness all died off, and the next generation didn't remember what God had done for them. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, there's the, which means the second law, they're being reminded about putting God first and remember what he has done. We talked about how with our nation as it is today, and monuments being torn down, the disrespect and the misunderstanding, or just the need to understand the contextual importance of those monuments and what we're to remember, whether good or bad, to help us to make the right decisions as a country. So remembering is very, very important. We need to remember God's deeds in our lives. Henry Blackaby put it this way, that there are life markers in our life. Can you look over your lifespan and see very prominent markers in your life that change the course of your life? We can see that. We can see, if we really look back, we can see the hand of God's providence on us. But in the middle of it, we don't always see God's hand of providence, do we? We don't see him working powerfully in our lives. So we need to remember God's deeds that he's done throughout world history, that he's done in America, that he's done in our life. And we're to keep them in front of us. So history is really important. And we need to share with our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and one another, look what God did. We remember biblically, look what God did, and we learn. We're to look at our history in our country and say, look what God did. And we're going to look at some of that this morning as we look at our nation's life. So the hand of providence, an old term that means basically the hand of God. Do you believe God's hand has been on America? Amen. And its founding principles? Amen. You think his hand is still on America? Amen. Do you think there are things that we don't understand that's going on that God has allowed? Amen. But still, nonetheless, God's hand is on us, and we need to praise him for that, and we need to acknowledge him. And that's real important for us, to acknowledge the hand of God in our life and in our country and in our history and even biblically, so that we don't forget who God is and all of his power and all of his might. The founders of our nation were firm believers in the hand of providence. Can you imagine coming over in the Mayflower and not trusting God as religious Christians, right? Christians that were committed to God, not trusting in him to provide every need? I mean, when you're stripped of all your needs, you have a tendency to look to God, don't we? We have all the comforts, we have a tendency to ignore him. And that's why it's important that we need to remember the hand of God, the providence of God, and our dependence upon God for whatever he calls us to do. So again, the founders of our nation were firm believers, and they saw the hand of God and his providence working in their lives and in the world around them. Their belief in the providence of God was a result of their own personal experience. So as you and I look at those life markers in our life, as you and I look and see what God has done in our life, that we're recognizing the hand of God on our lives by our own experience. That own experience helps us in future events in our life. And we can say, well, God took care of this. You say, how am I going to pay my taxes this year? Well, God's taken care of that in the past. Or how am I going to meet our budget? God has a way of not caring about your budget and just meeting your need. You know, God has a way of doing things that we do not anticipate from him. We're looking at that through our own personal experiences. People think that things just happen by chance, but God in his word tells us otherwise. In Proverbs 16:33, it says, a lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Now, I didn't say a lot, the lot. I said a lot, but the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So we know the principle of the straws in the hand, short straws, all different lengths. And who's gonna be our next apostle, Matthias or the other guy? I don't remember his name. And after Judas left, and they had straws, and they pulled, you know, who's going to be the right one? And God gave that direction by the lot that was cast, that they knew that this is what God wanted. This is the person that God is putting in place of Judas. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about people in the world today that don't know Christ. They plan their ways, and does God direct their steps? And I think there's a scripture that talks about those that are chosen in the elect that God knows are going to come to him and be his, that he has angels intervening in their lives to help them to be on the right track. And he knows those that won't follow him as well. And so the confusing part of it is, where does God intervene? I believe God intervenes in every person's life. But in his omniscience, knowing every person's heart, he knows who will come to know him, who won't, and what God's plan and purpose is for your life. And in particular for God's children, he will direct us, but we have to listen to him. Going back to Florida, you know, when I moved out to California, I tried probably 3 times to go back to Florida. The car broke down several times, sold my car, took the Greyhound bus, sent all my possessions, but, you know, boxed them up from Needles. I always step on the gas pedal when I go through Needles, you know, and when I was in Florida, it wasn't right. I knew it, but it took 3 times for God to say, I am telling you, no, you don't belong here. You belong in California. And by that, God gave me my wife and our children and our grandchildren and so many, many blessings. So we need to listen to the hand of God. And like me, I'm stubborn, and I think all of us can fall, not all of us, but most of us can fall into that category of being stubborn sometimes with God. So, listen to the Lord and know that God is working in your life and find comfort in that. Everything happens the way it happens because God's hand of providence is in it. That's hard to swallow sometimes because we have things that happen that are horrific in our lives, that are painful and unjustifiable, that we don't understand why, and we don't agree with, or we're angry about, whatever the case, but God's hand is still in these things. And we have to just kind of resolve in our own self to say, you know, God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God never does anything wrong. And so in our finite mind, we can't look at God and say, you blew it, bud, and I'm not happy with you. Because we can't have that perspective that God has. But God has his perspective, and he knows what's going on. And so we have to choose to resolve to step back and go, God, I'm going to trust you because you're my God, you're my Father, you love me unconditionally and beyond what can be measured, and I know you're working good even if I don't see it, or even if I don't agree with it, or even if I'm upset with it. What helps is to just resolve to rest in it. This is God's hand, and to trust him in that. So I want to look at a few historical examples. The landing at Cape Cod, the Mayflower, and the settlement of Plymouth had the hand of God's timing on the location of it. The pilgrims on the Mayflower were blown off course hundreds of miles and ended up at Cape Cod. Anybody been to Cape Cod? Beautiful area. Been out there and the Martha's Vineyard and all that. It's a beautiful area. Went and saw the Mayflower spot where the rock that's where they supposedly tied up the Mayflower was there, and this big monument and columns around it, and it's on the side of the road, and the water's right there, and you look way over and you see this little rock. I go, big deal, you know. But it's supposed to be the historical site of where they landed. But listen to this, that they were thrown off course a few hundred miles and landed at Cape Cod, but they arrived, if they had arrived a few years earlier, they would have been greeted by the fiercest tribe, the fiercest Native Americans in the country at that time. So they would have been slaughtered. But God made sure that their timing was just right, because before they got there, that fiercest tribe was annihilated completely, and they didn't have to contend with it. So God's timing is perfect. We don't always see it, do we? We don't see God's timing all the time. But there was one person that survived that out of that fiercest tribe. And he was kidnapped. He was taken back to England. He was taught English. He was with the captain, John Smith. And his name was Squanto. Everybody hear Squanto before? Now, Squanto came from that fiercest tribe. He went to England and learned English. He came back with Captain John Smith. And how did God use Squanto? Squanto was used to help the pilgrims. He knew the language, and he could teach them the way of the land. He could guide them and navigate them through the country that they didn't know. God used him. But look at the circumstances. When Squanto came back with Captain John Smith, the first thing he did, he jumped off the ship and ran to his home area to see his family, and they were all dead. And so he joined another tribe, I think it's a Wanapeg tribe, and he joined them, but then he joined alliance with the pilgrims. And we know that 50% of the pilgrims died, 50% of them. But Squanto, God used. He removed his tribe. He removed his family. He kidnapped them, taught them English, brought them back, and he was there to be that help for the pilgrims and navigating through the land. So he wouldn't have ever noticed what God was doing. And you and I don't notice what God is doing sometimes, even if it's devastating. God is working in your life, in my life, in particular, as instruments of God and Christians that we are not aware of. We may, in heaven, look back on our life and go, oh, I see what you were doing even more clearly. And we need to be attentive to what God does in our life if we're able to recognize it. So I think that's an interesting thing for us to remember, that God worked in a very devastating but very purposeful way in Squanto's life. It reminds me of what Joseph said in Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. God is working in our life for good purposes, even if we look at it as evil. That's an awkward place to be. But we have to be willing to just, again, like I said before, step back and just kind of fall back in the arms of Jesus and say, I resolve to trust you. because you are God and you are holy and I am yours. Bought with the blood of Christ, we're not our own. We belong to him and we can trust him that whatever he does in our life is good. So the pilgrims in Squanto, they went through many hardships, but God took care of them through all of it. They all experienced Romans 8:28. Most of us know that, don't we? And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. It's easy to say, it's easy to reflect on that and feel good about it on its surface, but when we're facing real tragedy and hardship in our lives, when we're facing things that just don't make sense, when we face things, again, like I said, that just anger us and upset us, as God's children, we have to be, we don't have to, but we should resolve to say, my Father loves me, he knows what he's doing, even though I don't get it, and I will trust him. Because of Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. Do we believe that? To those who love God. Do you love God? And to those who are called according to purpose. Are you called by God for his purposes because you love him? Then God is working good in your life and my life. Amen. So like the pilgrims in Squanto, the hand of providence will work all things out according to his purpose in our lives. We don't see the whole puzzle, do we? We can't step back and see all the puzzles of God's hand working and what he's putting together, but we can be faithful to him even when we don't see it clearly. There are many, many historical events that point to the hand of God's providence, and I want us to look at one. Another one, God's providence played a great part in rescuing George Washington's troops when they were penned in Brooklyn Heights during the early days of the Revolution. So the British were all surrounding General Washington and his troops, 8,000 men, I believe. They're all surrounded by the British. They know that they are dead in the water if God doesn't intervene. And so George Washington said, well, let's gather up all the boats that we can. And at night, we're going to go ahead and we're going to scurry about across the water. And we're going to find security. But his problem was we were getting in boats. We have 8,000 men in boats. They're going to hear the oars in the water. They're definitely going to see us. We're going to be sitting ducks on the lake, so to speak, or on the water. And the enemy's going to wipe us out. But God's hand did something. God's hand brought a fog in the middle of the night. And it just blanketed them. And they didn't even hear them in the boats escaping. And they didn't even see them. You see, the thoughts of Washington were, they're going to see us and hear us. God says, oh, no, they're not. And he took care of it. The hand of providence. God intervening in ways that we don't expect, that we don't understand. But when we have those life experiences where we see God step in our life and show his providence in our life that we didn't expect to be there, It's exciting. My God does know me. My God does love me. My God is involved in my life. My God is not ignoring me. My God is right here and he'll never forsake me. We know all of that, don't we? From what we've learned and in our own heart. But when we experience the reality of that, it emboldens our faith in Jesus. Because that's the experience that we have with him in our life. John Fisk, a historian, writes, the Americans had been remarkably favored by the sudden rise of a fog which covered the East River. So there's the documentation of that story. Americans could go on the fight for our freedom. We wouldn't be the country we are today if God didn't step in with that providential hand, because the British would have won. You may have been speaking French, who knows, right? It would have been a different country, but God had his hand, and I think God had his hand on our country because of the mindset of the pilgrims and our founding fathers that looked to God and said, God, we are intently focused on you and your will and your purpose for us as leaders of this new country that's forming, this new nation that's forming. And because of honoring God, one nation under God was not just a wonderful slogan. It was a reality of the heart of the people in our founding members of our country. And so, no matter what our needs are, to escape from the enemy or our food or our next meal, God knows, and his hand of providence will meet our needs. I shared a little story with the men's group on Tuesday night. I was working at a hospital in Homestead, Florida, and I was hungry. I didn't have any food in my house. I was a bachelor. I had a bunch of junk food on top of the refrigerator. My refrigerator was empty, and I was at work, and I'm hungry, and I was broke. And I said, God, I'm hungry, but I don't have any money. So he said, go to your car, to your driver's seat, and dig through the seat seams and see if you find any change. I found, I think it was 25 or 27 cents. I said, thank you, Lord, but I don't think that's going to cut it. He said, go down to the hospital cafeteria. I went down to the cafeteria. I told the lady behind the cafeteria line what was going on. And so the first thing I saw were the free crackers. And water was free. And then the soup, she charged me a quarter for. And she scooped out, I didn't tell her how much money I had, by the way. And she scooped the soup into my bowl, and the stalk of the soup was peeking out of the soup. I sat down and ate and walked away full. Simple things like that, God is in tune and focused on your life and my life far more than what we think. And he loves us beyond our comprehension. And he is working in your life and my life, whether we see it, agree with it, or don't see it. But he is working good for his glory. Definitely working good for his glory. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, needs is the key word there, isn't it? Because if I told God I need my Corvette, what he would tell me these days is, well, you don't drive anymore. You know, and I don't. So, you know, or if I need something, it's really qualified by how relative that is. God knows what we need, but I'm going to share with you that that doesn't mean that God doesn't give us what we want too. There are times where God will, just out of his mercy and his love for us, and say, I'm going to give you this. On my birthday years ago, I told the Lord I want a stereo. Didn't have the money for it. Went to my best friend's house. He knew it was my birthday. There's three stereos in his room. And he said, hey, Terry, for your birthday, pick out which stereo you want. So God hears the things that we want. He doesn't just give what we need. He's our father. It's like a kid going up and say, Dad, I want some ice cream today. Well, he might say no, because we're going to eat dinner in 20 minutes. But then he might say, sure, we'll have ice cream together. And so that's how our father works with us in that way. So it's important for us to examine our lives more closely and to look for the hand of providence in them. Then give thanks and acknowledge God. So a challenge to you today would be, look over your life history and look at those major events in your life and ask yourself if you recognize God's hand and directive on your life through those events, good or bad. And then acknowledge God for that and thank him for that, because thanks to God builds our faith. And Psalm 107:1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You know, that mercy is what he gives us what we don't deserve. Right? That's mercy. And he's loving and kind, and we're to remember all the things he's done in our life, and we're to acknowledge that and praise him. So just like remembering our history and our country in modern day, in our time right now, tearing down history and disregarding it, not telling the full story that was historically accurate and teaching it inaccurately, all for a motive that's not godly. We as Christians have a responsibility to uphold the truth of history and to share it with our families and our kids and whomever else God puts on our heart to remind us of what God has done. And as I shared with you some things that God had done in my life in the simplest of ways, or as I shared what God did with Washington in very dire situations, we need to be reminded of that and remember those things so that we can remain faithful and trusting in God for all things, right? Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Help us as your people to stay focused on you, that our hearts would be clear and right with you, that we would walk with you, that when we go through the times where things are blinded and that we don't see, let us just be faithful children that just reach up and hold your hand and say, Father, I'm putting my hand in your hand and I'm trusting you to guide me through whatever I'm going through, no matter how dark it is, because I can't see my way, but you know the right way and I can trust you. Help us, Father, to look at the favor that God's shown in our lives and the interventions that he's had on our lives so that we can praise you and give thanks to you and witness to others about your intervention on our own personal lives, that you might be glorified, that others might be compelled to want to know more about Jesus and how to have a relationship with Jesus as their Savior. So I pray, Father, that you will help us to be bold about what God has done in our lives. Help us to be bold about our country and the faith of our forefathers and the things that we need to remember, but not only in our country, but in the world around us. We're to remember the terrible things of war, the terrible things of the Holocaust, the terrible things that have happened, and guard against those type of things so we can stand up with wisdom and not be foolish in our decisions. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.